armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to save
idea?
The bubble. Really, this
do
is
you
what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. We go to bed two more times, and we wake up. It's opening day, baby. Let's go.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer, and he's full of snacks.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Well, your Atlanta Braves are leading 7-4 as the final spring training game of the 2023 season is underway. Atlanta 7, Boston 4. That game is in the, I got a glare on my screen, the seventh inning, the top of the seventh inning. Now, Atlanta's already taken out all of their starters. They did that about an inning or so ago. I caught a decent amount of this game. Charlie Morton got the start. These guys were swinging at the first pitch, both sides. They're just ready to get on and get over. Atlanta heading to Washington, and I believe Boston is opening at Fenway on opening day. So they're heading back home. The Braves, we will start in Washington, D.C., Thursday, 1 p.m., 105 first pitch. We will have the call right here on Braves Country HD and begin the 2023 Major League Baseball season. We're excited to bring it to you. We have expanded our coverage for folks who may just be tuning into this year. We're going from last year is around 50. I think we ended up doing close to 60, not counting the playoff games. We do every playoff game, by the way. This year we're planning on doing well over 100. So we're going to average about 4 a week, and we're going to bring you ball games on Tuesday night, on Friday night. And then I know I've given this speech a few times before, but one last time, we'll do it again, I'm sure a few times in the coming weeks. But Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to pick the day game of those. If there's not a day game, then we will most likely bring you the Wednesday night game. Really just depends on the Braves schedule without getting into the weeds, all that. And they're playing a lot of Saturday afternoon games, 4 o'clock Eastern first pitch. We're going to be doing a lot of those unless they're flexed. And, or if it is a Sunday night game, the Sunday night baseball game, we will bring you that instead, but we'll update you with that every single week. Make sure to like our YouTube page, Braves Country HD. Braves Country HD is also the Facebook and Twitter page. So we'll have all the information there every week in case, you know, you can't keep up with all that nonsense. I know it's a lot to absorb, but a lot of it comes down to essentially when the games are going on. Tuesday and Friday nights have been traditional for us. This is our third season now. We've always done the Tuesday and Friday night. And the reason why we first started it that way is because we wanted to bring you one game from each series. And traditionally, the Braves do play every Tuesday and Friday night. Now, this week, there is no Friday night game. But we're bringing you opening day on Thursday, and then we'll be back at it on Saturday afternoon. But typically, it's a Friday night game. There is no Friday night game. For quite a few teams in the first week, they they do the, I know a lot of fans who don't live in the areas of Major League Baseball cities have often wondered, why do they do this? Well, traditionally it's because a lot of cities have celebrations where it's parades or whatever. And the thought process is they need a day to essentially clean up, a little bit of day of rest, and then you go back at it. So that's why so many of your, it really began in Cincinnati, but while you're traditionally your first game of the season is a day game. And then that night there's a lot of festivities. So some teams throw dinners. It really depends on each individual city. And Atlanta, they will be getting their season at home the following week. And more on that here in a second. But I do want to hit what happened today in the Braves-Red Sox game as they are heading to the bottom of the seventh. The Braves do lead 7-4, last spring training game of the year. For the Atlanta Braves, Acuna went for 2-for-2. You like to see that. Matt Olson got another base hit. He's got 8 home runs now on the spring, hitting .426. Let's get the season going. Let's just go ahead and put him in bubble wrap and get him up there to Washington, D.C., and unload him. Austin Riley got a base hit, so you like to see that. He hasn't been struggling, but he hasn't had a loud spring. It's been an okay spring. Ozuna just got the 1 at bat. He's hitting .315. Now, obviously, none of this matters, right? None of it matters come Thursday. But I don't know about y'all, but I am God dog it ready for real baseball. And I know the guys in the league are. I know the guys are chomping at the bit. All teams at this point, it's kind of like the last day of school. If you can remember that far back, the last day of school, just before you head to the summer, you know you're about to have fun. That's what the Major League Baseball spring training is like. Because spring training is where you put the work in and you get in shape. Now, most of these guys come to spring training already in shape. Years ago, these guys didn't come in shape. And I know a lot of people will scoff and say, why didn't they? Because they were working jobs during the offseason. Guys were working in meat packing plants and doing all kinds of different odds and ends. I remember seeing a few stories over the years that I've read, and one of the more popular things to do around the turn of the century was vaudeville acts. You had a lot of guys who knew they could bring in people because of their name, and they would tour around the country and do vaudeville acts. And vaudeville acts are essentially little comedy sketches type of things. And that's how some of them made their money. And it really just all depended on your amount of fame and your amount of ability. But a lot of guys went to work, and that's how they would approach the winter, because they didn't make a lot of money during the games, and it was to make ends meet. They would come to spring training, come south. Spring training began in Florida years, and actually it first began in Arkansas, but it quickly moved to Florida years and years ago, because you had to get guys in shape, and you couldn't get guys in shape in the snow. So that's how that all came about. But now the guys come into spring training in shape. And now what you're looking for now is you're just trying to get your rhythm in. You're just trying to get some work in. And of course, you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to Edwin Diaz. You don't want to Reese Hoskins. And thankfully, so far, the Braves have been fairly healthy. And so when you look at what we have going on heading towards opening day, if you missed it, Kyle Wright will start on the injured list. Everybody expected that. He's building up. I think he went about 4 1/3 the other day. So he's not that far away. You got to figure with the Braves and what they're planning on doing, Wright heading to the IL. And of course, last week it was Soroka headed to the IL, right? So what we have now is a situation where it's not just one of our rookies. Both of our rookies, Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd, are going to be under fire from the jump. And I think in a perfect world, I think if they had to redo this, I would have wanted Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd to pitch in the first series. But we'll see how they play this out. The way it plays out right now, it will be Max Fried on Thursday, Strider on Saturday, and Morton on Sunday with Dodd and Schuster to follow. Probably Schuster, Dodd. But regardless, they're going to be going to St. Louis. That's not what you want. But, hey, that just makes the games against Washington that much more important. So Kyle Wright is going to be headed to the IL. We hope he only missed about two turns. That's a perfect scenario. Schuster, Dodd, if you haven't watched them pitch, they've pitched really well. A couple of young guys in their early 20s, guys with college experience that are ready to roll. But hey, there's going to be learning curves. There just has to be learning curves. And it's unfortunate, but that's how it goes down sometime in the big city, right? You're going to get learning curves. And these guys are, it's going to be baptism by fire. So Schuster, a lefty, he's 24. Dodd, a lefty, he's 24. Schuster went to Wake Forest, and Dodd, it's slipping my mind. It was a Midwest, I'll think of it in a second. But both of them play college ball. It's going to be hard to replace Kyle Wright for those two starts. I mean, this is a guy that went 21-5 with a 3.19 ERA last year. Really came out of nowhere. No one expected that. I think a lot of Braves fans had given up on Kyle Wright from two springs ago. Remember the spring of 21 where he came in and it was his for the picking, and he just fell apart. He couldn't get anything going in the spring. And they worked on him, they worked on him, they worked on him. They got him some innings down in the minors, and he delivered in a big way in the fall of 21 that, of course, helped lead to the World Series championship. I'll tell you a guy who is having a very good spring that, oh, by the way, he made his first appearance at that time in that same time period in 21, Dylan Dodd. Dylan Dodd has been pitching well this spring. Now, a lot of this stuff you have to put on the back burner, and you have to kind of, you look at it and you're interested in it as a fan, but you can't go crazy one way or the other. If a guy's having a poor spring, you don't overreact. If he's having a great spring, you don't overreact. But if I were to say the two guys that are having the best springs right now to a man, it's Matt Olson and it's Dylan Dodd. That's not to say Strider's not having a good spring, and some of the other guys are having a good spring. And I'll tell you what, defensively, there've been a couple of plays made by Arcia that I think Braves fans are quickly going to realize we're not going to be missing a whole lot not having Dansby Swanson in there playing short. Arcia's flat out picking it. Now you got to have a plan going past Arcia because he's on the last year of his deal. And if he goes out there and plays out of his mind, which he might, he's an aging shortstop the Braves are never gonna bring back. Not likely. But it's exciting to watch him play. And as he's doing that, Grissom and Shoemake are down there developing as well. And I love the fact that they said Shoemake's gonna get some work, much needed work at second base. Because look, if Grissom and Shoemake can both play both middle infield positions, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, one collision in the infield can knock out two of your guys, so you would love to have that kind of utility knife situation no matter who you pulled up. So I'm excited to see that. I've actually got the minor league baseball package. I'm making sure that I'm watching that, and I'm going to be watching a lot of games from down on the farm this year. I always watch a decent amount, but I'm going to be locked in to that particular position battle. So we look forward to that. Other things going on with the Braves, when you look at our schedule real quick, because now we're here, now we're in the meat of it. Now, tomorrow, important announcement tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be nothing but wall to wall. I'm going to dive in and give predictions for everything Major League Baseball tomorrow. There's another important announcement that I think our friend running the show at WQEE, my main man, Ryan O'Neill, is going to like, We got an announcement for that for the Friday show, but we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a big announcement, something we have not done yet here on Braves Country on Friday, and I think it's going to go over well. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Keep it locked in here on The Key.
Stupid interviews.
Hey, you're a member of the Buffalo Bills. How does it feel?
Well, it's a blessing. I thank God. I'm going to try to do my best. It's a great organization. And I'll say the last 80 guys said. So, yeah.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive Time on WQEE.
You shut up! Well, you make me change restaurant, but nobody come. But where are people? You see people? Show me people. There are no people. You bad man. You very, very bad man.
Bad man? Could my mother have been wrong?
Welcome back. So we got a pretty jam-packed week. Not only are we doing Braves Country, baseball on Thursday, that'll be at 1 o'clock right here, 105 first pitch. The pregame show will come on a tad before on Braves Country HD, probably about a half hour. Wednesday, wall-to-wall predictions, Major League Baseball. I've kind of hinted where I'm going with some of these, but I've actually did some research last night to be able to – I'm putting my name on it tomorrow, and I feel pretty confident on some of these. I've got a couple of sleepers in the American League and the National League that folks don't have going to the playoffs, and I think they've got a very good chance. I'm also going to revisit the MVP and Cy Young that I talked about over the last week. I'm going to – give you my new updated ones, and I'm sticking with those. Those are the ones to go. And so Thursday is a busy day. Tonight, for any of you fantasy baseball fans, we're going to be on Braves Country HD on YouTube, and we're going to be doing a baseball draft. It's basically we share the screen and we talk a lot of smack to each other, and that's about it. If you're not into fantasy baseball, but you want to learn a little bit, it might give you some headway. It's really something. It's really a show that if you just want to drink a cold beer and get some chuckles, there's usually a lot. So one of the reasons why we started doing this is because all of your other outlets, like, you know, the Yahoos and ESPNs, all the ones that carry the fantasy baseball for year and fantasy football for that matter, for years, they always had chat rooms and you could always talk a lot of smack in the chat rooms to each other. Well, most of them have eliminated that because of the whole worry about cyberbullying thing, right? So you know anything about fantasy baseball and fantasy football, I mean, that's pretty much our motto, is nothing but cyberbullying each other, you know, talking a lot of smack, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's, look, it's all in good fun. It's a bunch of guys that have known each other for years, and we have a good time. Now, Friday, and I did not find this out until yesterday afternoon. I just happened to be scrolling past the news cycles after the show, and I found out WrestleMania is Saturday. And I don't know much about wrestling, but I do know that's huge. So I asked the guys, a couple of guys that come on the show regularly, Tones and Joey, who are big wrestling fans, or as I like to give them a hard time, called wrestling fans. But anyways, they love the entertainment value of it, and I get it. I never got into it. But I do understand how someone does get sucked into those types of, I mean, look, we've all got guilty pleasures, don't we? I mean, some people watch the WNBA. Some people watch wrestling. I watch softball, and people laugh at that. And look, I enjoy it. But Friday, 4 to 5, when we normally do our cool games, when we talk, and we're talking about baseball and football and whatnot, usually this Friday, 4 to 5, Joey's going to jump on with Tones. I'm going to let them take over the airwaves. I'm going to toss the questions to them, but it's going to be their show, and they are going to do a WrestleMania happy hour, and we're going to talk about cool games, meaning that we're going to be talking about cool matchups, the ones that everyone's looking forward to. And I hope to learn something from this. I don't think I'll ever get into it because I'm not paying that kind of money to watch this kind of stuff. But I've had a lot of friends over the years that are into it. So if you're not into it, maybe you'll learn something. I think what it'll most likely be with me taking me down memory lane when I was a kid and used to watch some of it. But WrestleMania is this Saturday, and I did not know that. And I remember, is that the last year, the year before, the guys going down to WrestleMania. It was in Tampa that year. I don't know where. I think it says New York, but I don't know if that means. I don't know what I'm searching here, and thankfully I won't be the one in charge of talking to WrestleMania. It'll be two big time wrestling fans, but we're looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. WrestleMania 4 to 5 p.m. on Friday. Gonna get your weekend kicked off right on happy hour, and it says New York. That is a strange. Now, the only thing that I wonder about that is, are they just telling me time zone? So I'll try to get that figured out. WrestleMania 23. Oh, no, it's in SoFi Stadium. It's in L.A. Okay. So I don't know why this thing said New York on the heading. So it's in SoFi Stadium, 70,000 plus. I'm sure it'll be sold out. I'll be interested to find out the little things about WrestleMania. Like, you know, what does it cost to go to this thing? And what does it cost to watch it at home? All that kind of stuff. And I remember, like, WrestleMania's been around forever. I mean, when I was a little kid, I can remember them bringing up WrestleMania. So I'll be looking forward to hearing. You know, my go-to is, what's Hulk Hogan up to? That's how long ago it's been since I've known anything about wrestling. But these two guys love it, and they know their stuff, that's for sure. And we're talking about doing a pretty regular show with wrestling, so we'll probably get into the weeds of that as well. So looking forward to that. That's this Friday. Thursday, like I said, the Braves baseball play-by-play, we'll be bringing that to you. 105 first pitch. And I went and looked at the starting pitching matchups and jotted quite a few down, and then went on to look at, okay, what are the top pitching matchups? Because as excited as I am to watch Braves, Nationals, Max Fried on the mound, it's not a great matchup. It really isn't. Now, look, Patrick Corbin, he's pitched really well this spring. My biggest thing is I'll be interested to see, does that carry over into the regular season, or was he – and obviously, I mean, who's got time to watch Washington Nationals spring training baseball? But I'm curious to see, was he mowing down double A guys, or has he really turned a corner? Because remember when they signed him, it was a huge deal. Huge deal. And Patrick Corbin ended up, well, I think it was like 6 years. It was around $140 million. It was right in that neighborhood. And they thought they were bringing in the second coach. You may forget, he turned down the New York Yankees offer. And I don't remember what their offer was, but he picked Washington instead. And when he signed the deal, everyone believed that, well, that's going to be the move that's going to put them over the top. Now, they did win the World Series with Patrick Corbin on the roster. But anyone will tell you that watched that season, he wasn't the reason. I mean, by the time they got into the playoffs, they were using him as like long relief and just trying to use him in matchups and whatnot. And he's never really been what they thought he was going to be. He's now 33 years old. And when he signed his deal coming over, was that 19? Yeah, it was 2019. So it was the year they won the World Series. I couldn't remember if it was 18 or 19. But he came over from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and everybody wanted him. And then all of a sudden, look, he was an all-star. He was a two-time all-star in 2013, but then in 2018. So he was an all-star right before he signed that huge deal and then just fell off the planet. And since then, he just hasn't been what they thought he would be. And it's been one of the biggest busts that I can think of in recent memory. But he's going to get an opportunity to kind of turn the page. And if he goes out and pitches a good game opening day against the Atlanta Braves, that's going to move the needle a little bit. If you want an idea of what he was doing before he came to the Nationals, he was 11-7 with a 105 whip and a 315 ERA in 2018. That was the All-Star year, right? He was, in 2017, was 14-13, but these were Diamondback teams that weren't very good, but he had an ERA around 4. Now his whip was kind of high, and I think they should have focused more on that and realizing how high, for folks who don't understand that jargon, it's walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. He had a high whip in 17 and a high whip in 16, but everyone thought he turned the corner in 18 and then became a free agent. And man, he was okay his first year with Washington. Now, he was 14-7. That sounds great, but he had a lot of run support. I do remember that from 2019. But he had a pretty good ERA. 3.25, and then towards the end of the season, I remember right at the end of the season, I mean, they were pretty much riding Scherzer and Strasburg, which now Strasburg's arm is like jello. But they were pretty much riding those guys, and he was coming out of the bullpen for middle relief. So in 2020, you kind of have to throw that season away. I get it. It's, you know, it was the pandemic, 60 games, whatever. What did he? But he was 2-7. With a 4.66 ERA and a 1.57 whip. Now, to give you an idea of what is good, what is considered average or solid, I'll say solid, of a whip is anything 1.2 and below, 1.2 and below. Pretty darn good is around the 1.1 range, right? 1.10. Anything close to 1 is phenomenal, or below 1 is phenomenal. And your better closers have a very low whip because they're only throwing a handful of pitches and they're doing it at a high velocity. So he had a 1.57 whip, which is huge. I mean, it's enormous, and a 4.66 ERA. Okay, well, we'll come back to 2021. He'll get it straightened out. We heard all this. Then he went 9-16 with a 1.47 whip and 5.82 ERA. Then last year, when they were like, okay, We worked on his mechanics, blah, blah, blah. 6 wins, 19 losses, a 1.7 whip, and a 6.31 ERA. Now, to tell you how much the rest of Major League Baseball thinks so lowly of Marcelo Ozuna and what he's been doing, the Braves at the deadline, it was reported, tried to trade Marcell Ozuna for Patrick Corbin, take on his his contract mano a mano and go from there. And the Nationals said, now we're good. Now that tells you something, because if you look at the Patrick Corbin contract, and I remember we've got what, 2 years left for Ozuna, counting this year and next year, right? Patrick Corbin. So they would have gotten him off the books at the end of 2022, and they would have had Ozuna for 2 years at $16 million a year. The Braves were going to take on Patrick Corbin, and I just told you those terrible stats. He is due to make $24 million this year. That's bad enough. Here's the kicker. This is how bad the Braves wanted to get rid of Ozuna. Corbin's going to make $35 million in 2024. And if he's not pitching at elite status, he's nowhere close to being worth it. You want to compare that to the big dogs? $35 million is just below what Verlander and Scherzer were getting on short deals. And one of the reasons why it's so high is that if you look at the early part of his salary, Corbin got $12.5 his first year in Washington. Then it creeped up to $19 million. And then the middle years, 3, 4, and 5, it's all sitting around the 23, 24 million range. And then it gets ballooned to 35. So when they signed that deal, whoever was the final person making the agreement, they just kind of said, well, screw who's ever running the team in 2024. That's their problem. We're trying to win a World Series. But that's how bad the Braves wanted to get rid of Ozuna, is that they were willing to take on that ridiculous contract for a guy that's just he's been a waste. They say he's pitching well, and they say he's pitching really well. We'll see. We'll see up close and personal, as he is the opening day starter. All right, other big – now, this is the way I ranked him, and I'm going to go 5-1. And there's some really, really good pitching matchups for opening day. The number 5 to me is Scherzer versus Sandy Alcantara, and that look. You could argue that could be possibly the number one. All of these that I'm referring to, minuscule differences. It really depends. Look, if you're a Mets fan, obviously that you're going to say that that's the biggest game. If you're a Marlins fan, yeah, you're going to be into it. But for me, looking at it from the perspective of how much star power there is across both lineups, Mets Marlins falls at number 5. Number 4 to me is Logan Webb, San Francisco, going into Yankee Stadium to take on Gerrit Cole. Webb had kind of a down year. He'd been very dominant before that. He had kind of a down year last year, and he has had a good spring, and they're hoping to jump out to a good start, and it starts opening day in Yankee Stadium. How big would that have been if Aaron Judge had signed with San Francisco like they had first talked about? Remember how close San Francisco was to signing Judge? Can you imagine opening day in Yankee Stadium, Aaron Judge out in right field wearing the orange and black? Holy cow. To me, the next one, the number 3 one, it's Texas versus Philly, and that may sound weird, but it's Jacob DeGrom versus Aaron Nola. And DeGrom going up against the Phillies, that's nothing new, but he's in a Texas uniform. That's huge. And I really think Texas has a decent chance of having a really good season this year. They've got some question marks, and those are the things that when you're doing these preseason prognostications, that there's a lot of question marks and a lot to question in general with what Texas brought in. But then, man, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like in that new Rangers team. And I think they're going to be exciting. And I hope for that fan base that they get off to a good start and that it's a really good season for Texas, because when the Rangers are doing well, it's good for baseball. It gets the entire – look, can you imagine the Rangers and the Astros going down the stretch in the summer in a big divisional battle. That would be enormous for that state. The number two. Now this one almost got my number one. I was teetering back and forth. Dylan Cease versus Framber Valdez. White Sox at the Astros. And that is going to be the Thursday night ESPN game of the day. That should be a fun one. That should be some really good pitching. Yeah, and the great thing about these great pitching matchups we're going to see, if you like offense, don't worry. Because most of these guys are only going to go about five innings. And then the bullpens are going to get deployed. And then you never know what you're going to get from a bullpen on opening day. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And the number one to me, this one has star power written all over it. It's just disappointing because coming on so late. I feel like they did a bad job putting this game on at 10 o'clock Eastern. I really feel like they should have had this a little. It's opening day. Traditionally, these games go a little early. It's not even on national television, so that's not the answer why they put it on so late. Guardians versus Mariners. Shane Bieber on the mound versus Luis Castillo. And to me, that's the number one. That's the one that has the most juice, the most pizzazz. These are two teams that made the playoffs last year. Two teams that hope to be returning and are heavy favorites to return. But here's an interesting one. There's two that I put asterisks on. I almost like you on a normal day that they would make your top five, but there's so many great pitchers going on opening day. Arizona is at the Dodgers at 10 o'clock. Zach Gallen versus Julio Urias. That should be a really good matchup. But here's an interesting one, Braves fans, Braves country. Shohei Ohtani's on the mound for the Angels. He's going up against the Oakland A's. And who's getting the starting nod on opening day for the Oakland A's? Kyle Muller. Wow. Now, he must be pitching well. I have not followed the A's this spring, but he must be pitching well for Kyle Muller to be getting the nod. Another one that could be a really fun one. McClanahan for Tampa is going up against Erod in Detroit. And we all know Erod struggled last year. He has pitched well this spring. So there's high expectations for him as well. So that's your opening day matchups. And they've already got the betting lines out for them. Most of them are pretty predictable. Atlanta's betting line, let me see what it is. Ooh, minus 250. 250! That's not a very good bet in the world of betting. So if you're going to take that bet, what a normal folks would say, you either take the run line, which is -1.5, and I hate doing that, especially on opening day, or you need to pair it up with another. It is interesting to see that the Mets are favorites on the road against the defending Cy Young winner, Sandy Alcantara, and the Marlins. There's a couple of other interesting lines, but we'll dive more into that later on. But Texas, they're at home against Philly. DeGrom is a minus 130 against Nola. So that just tells you that the betting line, even though they respect DeGrom, they don't respect the Rangers yet. Because even as good as Nola is, they don't have Harper. They don't have Rhys Hoskins, and they're going into there almost as a pick'em. That's one I might have to jump on that day. That is a very, very interesting line. All right, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the things going on in March Madness and get you caught up to in the world of baseball. There's a couple other things going on, and Joey's on the way. And when he comes rolling in here, we're going to get his 2023 predictions for Major League Baseball, March Madness, and a whole hell of a lot more. Keep it locked in here on the Key and Braves Country HD wherever you stream.
That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family.
have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients, no high fructose corn syrup, and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
Here you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
You're listening to Braves Country, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves Country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals, first pitch 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves Country on Braves Country HD.
Look, I got some bad news. I guess there isn't a good way to tell you something like this. Your god-uncle died.
My god-uncle? There's no such thing as a god-uncle.
Yes, there is. It's your godfather's brother. You remember your god-uncle, Charlie.
No. Yeah, you know, as much as I'd like to pay my respects, catch up with my god-cousins and meet the god-neighbors, I have some urgent business that just can't wait until later.
All right, here's your popcorn and the remote. There, enjoy your show.
Welcome back. Your Atlanta Braves are up 7-5 as we are in the bottom of the ninth. And looks like there's one out. Atlanta heading north after this game, heading to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., to take on the Nationals. We'll have it here live on Thursday, pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play. Trey Riley's in the game. Trey Riley is the one that looks... He looks like he could be like the crazy cousin of Spencer Strider. Because he kind of has that wild hair, but he has a very similar mustache. He kind of looks like Spencer Strider... Would be the one the whole family would be betting on, and Trey Riley would be like the black sheep that would show up. He would show up at like parties or picnics that everyone's just trying to have a nice time, and he'd show up with like a fifth of tequila. Anyways, Braves down to one. Yep, there's two out, so one out left, and we'll be done with spring training and get to turn the page. Tonight, by the way, if you're looking for something to keep you occupied on the tube, you've got the NIT reconvenes tonight. That's out in Vegas. I guess everything's going to Vegas now, but you know, remember for years it was always in New York City, but this is the first year I've really followed the NIT for a minute. It's I haven't watched this much on IT in probably 10 years. And I'm not familiar when they moved it to Vegas, but it was always in New York City, always Madison Square Garden. But look, let's be honest. If your kids and your fans and your family getting excited to take a trip to try to put butts in the seats, Vegas sounds a lot more fun than New York City, especially in March, where I believe the weather. Now, according to the Red Sox broadcast today, it's going to be good weather up in the Northeast, but it's going to be cold. And I have not checked what it's going to be like in Washington, D.C. on opening day, but I'm about to do that right now because I checked last week and it was supposed to be cold. Yeah, well, cool. They're saying that in Boston, Fenway Park, they're calling for 43 degrees, I think they said was going to be the high, but they said it's going to be sunny. I think most of us would agree that that doesn't make it any better. 43 degrees is 43 degrees. Doesn't matter what's going on. Today, it looks like that they're getting some rain in D.C. Hopefully, that will clear out. Let me see here. Yeah, it's still on track. It's where I thought it was. What they're calling for right now, Washington, D.C., opening day, sunny. According to this, essentially not a cloud in the sky. And 10 mile an hour winds, which isn't anything crazy, 54 will be the high. So you got to figure around first pitch, it's going to be in the low 50s. Saturday's game could be in some peril. They're expecting rain, but it looks like, according to this forecast, that it's going to be early rain. So hopefully we won't get a rain out that quickly into the season. It looks like Sunday will be okay too. So getting ready for a big, big weekend in sports. And then, of course, so not only will you have the Final Four, but you've got the NIT tournament starts tonight or reconvenes tonight. It started a couple of weeks ago. It's Wisconsin and North Texas. If you haven't been following along, Wisconsin and North Texas, that's the early game. And Utah Valley and UAB. And man, has that UAB line shot up. Someone had to have put some big time money on the Blazers because UAB came into this when the line first came out. It was close to a pick'em. I want to say UAB was a 1-point favorite. They are now a 4.5-point favorite tonight against Utah Valley. And I do believe UAB is going to win that game. Wow, has that line shot up. North Texas, who I like in the first game, they're only a 1.5-point favorite. So that should be a pretty good bet as well. North Texas just giving up one. The one interesting thing about this, if you look at the lines, take a look at the line of the North Texas-Wisconsin game. The total is 114.5. That's a low-scoring game that they're projecting. Now, Wisconsin plays a lot of low-scoring basketball, so I get it, but you normally don't see in a playoff-type atmosphere that the over-under is below 120. That is a low-scoring game. Conversely, UAB-Utah Valley is 151. That's a big, big difference. I ended up hitting my lock on the NBA last night. I hate picking the NBA because you never know what you're going to get. And I actually did a parlay. I took Dallas and Denver on the money line, and I got it just in time before the news broke everywhere that Joel Embiid wasn't playing. He didn't play. They were cruising. I'm fading off to sleep. I kind of have it on, but I kind of don't. Like, I'm not really paying attention. And all of a sudden, here they come storming back. So that took a lot of freaking sleep out of my, because I was like waking up going, what in the world's going on here? And they were just choking it away. They ended up holding on. But if you had the Nuggets minus the points, you got hosed. Because they were up by 20 midway through the fourth quarter. They won by like 5. And the last line that I saw was like 6.5, 7.5. So if you took them minus the point, you got absolutely hosed. It's one of those classic bad beats, as they like to call them. Tomorrow night's going to be tricky. You don't have the NCAA tournament. Baseball starts the following day. We ain't gonna watch. Not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot to go on. I mean, I guess you could flip over to the NBA or NHL, but their regular seasons, they're starting to wind down. So the games are a little more important, but I really get more into both of them come playoff time. Tomorrow night, I don't even see like a big time matchup. Mavs 76ers, I guess, but if Embiid's not going to play, he didn't play last night. Is he even going to play on tomorrow night? They're back in Philadelphia. That's a rough sports night. You know what that is? That's a perfect night to tell your better half, we should watch a movie and really suck up to him. Because there is nothing on. I just realizing this. And this is terrible. This is one of the worst day in sports, I would say. There's got to be I don't care what it is. There's got to be something better going on in the world of the NHL on Wednesday night than what I just saw in the NBA. Islanders Capitals, that's decent. That's on TNT. That's decent. And there's only three games in the NHL. Man, oh, man. Oof. They should have, you know, the NIT really should have thought about doing their championships, semifinals Monday, championship on Wednesday night. Just putting that out there. Once again, everyone lives in their own world and doesn't pay any attention to who they could be going up against. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, Joey's going to join. We're going to finish up with some March Madness. We're going to get into the actual Final Four, and we're getting into the 2023 predictions from Joey A. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Armchair. You're listening to
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Major League Baseball's final day of spring training gets started at 1:05 Eastern, Braves at Red Sox. That game's in Fenway South, Fort Myers, Florida, 1:05 first pitch. Blue Jays and Phillies and the Nats and Yankees got going at noon. And the last game in the Grapefruit League, Twins at Pirates. 2:05 Arlington, Texas, Globe Life Field. The Rangers host the Royals as Kansas City makes its way back home. And in the Cactus League, you got the Brewers and Rockies in Scottsdale, White Sox and Cubs in Mesa, Guardians at the D-backs at 3:40 at Chase Field. And in Anaheim, California tonight, the Angels and Dodgers square off 6:07 local time. The historical National Invitational Tournament, the NIT semifinals, begin tonight at 7 Eastern. No longer in Madison Square Garden, they'll face off in Las Vegas, Nevada. The early game, North Texas versus Wisconsin. The Badgers are 1-point dogs, over under 115. And at 9:30, Utah Valley versus UAB. The Blazers are giving up 2.5, over under 152. Over on the ice, you got a full slate tonight. Some of the games of interest, 7 Eastern on the plus. Predators are at the Boston Bruins, while the Lightning battle the Hurricanes in Raleigh. Penguins at the Red Wings in Detroit. Canadians and Flyers in Philly at 7, while the Canucks and Blues are in St. Louis at 8. What could be the best game of the night, 9 Eastern, the Los Angeles Kings travel to Calgary to try to put out the Flames. In the NBA tonight, it gets going at 7 Eastern. The Boston Celtics travel to our nation's capital to take on the Wizards. At 7:30, State Farm Arena, right here in Atlanta, the Hawks host the Cavaliers. Magic and Grizzlies tip off at 8 in Memphis. And the Thunder are looking for a much-needed win at home against the Hornets at 8 o'clock. Pelicans and Warriors are the second part of the TNT doubleheader at 10. Heat and Raptors get it going at 7:30. The Josh Harris-Mitchell Rails Group, which now includes Magic Johnson, officially submitted a fully financial bid for the Washington Commanders that meets Dan Snyder's $6 billion asking price to buy the team. If accepted, the deal would break the previous record for a franchise set late August when a group led by Walmart's Rob Walton bought the Denver Broncos for $4.65. Once Snyder accepts an offer, he must submit the bidder's name to the NFL for approval. Shohei Ohtani is expected to make a Major League Baseball record $65 million for the 2023 season, including endorsements, according to an annual list published by Forbes magazine, making the Los Angeles Angels two-way standout, the highest-paid player in all of sports. The amount includes one $30 million contract extension that Ohtani signed in October as a part of an agreement to avoid salary arbitration. Mets pitcher Max Scherzer was second on the list at $59.3 million. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge, who signed a nine-year $360 deal in December, took third place at $44.5. The U.S. gambling industry is adopting a new responsible marketing code that will ban sports books from partnering with colleges to promote sports wagering, bar payments to college, and amateur athletes for using their name, image, and likeness, and end the use of terms free or risk-free to describe promotional bets. The American Gaming Association told the Associated Press on Tuesday the changes are necessary to keep up with the developments in the fast-growing legal sports industry, which currently operates in 33 states, including Washington, D.C. And I hope you're sitting down, because here's some shocking news. Ben Simmons is once again being shut down for the rest of the season. The Brooklyn Nets announced on Tuesday via coach Jacques Vaughn, Simmons, who hasn't played since the Nets' final game before the All-Star break last month because of a nerve issue in his back, has missed a total of 33 games this season with knee and back injuries. After sitting out all of last year, Simmons has seen a steep decline from his days as an All-Star with Philly, posting 26 minutes, 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists, and a free throw percentage of 43%. Simmons, who is 26 years old, still has two more years remaining on a contract, paying him $37.8 in the 2023-24 season and $40 in the 24-25 season. The Nets, meanwhile, are fighting to stay out of the play-in and enter Tuesday's game with the Miami Heat tied for the number 6 overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every 5 purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.
I only drink alcohol on days that start with a T. So that's Tuesday, Thursday. Today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Are you listening?
Welcome back! Joey A joins us. Mr. Joseph, how the hell are you, sir?
Oh, I'm jacked up. It's a great week between opening day, as we already know from this show too many times over, Final Four. It's WrestleMania week. I'm all amped up. So much good things happening on the last week of March.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to see what y'all bring to the table on the Friday show for folks who might be just joining us. Friday happy hour, 4 to 5. Normally we have Bobby and Tones on and we talk cool games in the, you know, obviously during football season, it's NFL and, you know, March Madness, what games are like. Well, this time we're going to do something different and the cool games are going to be the cool matches. And Tones and Joey are going to break down all the ones that they really want to look forward to and kind of get you ready for anyone who's going to watch WrestleMania and maybe people who are a little interested that haven't done it in a while and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it should be a fun way to end the week heading into the Final Four. So are they going up against each other?
So it's so many matches. They make it Saturday and Sunday. So if you have to miss Saturday, that's okay. You could watch Sunday because the true main event is Sunday night. But they split it into 2 days.
Okay.
And Peacock, the nice thing is, it's not like UFC where you have to buy ESPN Plus and then you still have to pay for the pay-per-view. If you have Peacock for $5 a month or $10 a month, whatever package you have, you get the pay-per-views free on Peacock. So take advantage, Peacock
users. Oh, really?
Yes.
So you don't have to buy a special package for it anymore.
Nope. As long as you have Peacock, you get the pay-per-views.
Well, that's probably good marketing on their strategy as far as, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, there's a demand or UFC wouldn't be able to charge what they charge. But I guess that's better just in general for the fans is how I look at it. You know, the fans being able to watch it for a heck of a lot cheaper.
Absolutely.
Now, does Peacock carry a lot of wrestling on typically or no?
Well, for example, if like Monday Night Raw, they'll put the episode out the next week. So they're always a little bit behind on putting out their shows, but each pay-per-view is live. So at once a month pay-per-view, you can watch it live on Peacock. All the shows get uploaded a week behind schedule.
Okay, so they do an event once a week. I mean, a month, excuse me.
Yes, once a month.
Okay, well, heck, then that's – I mean, if you're into – now, is that just WWE, I'm assuming?
Yes, that is just WWE who does that.
If you're a WWE fan or whatever, I mean, I would think that's well worth the $5-6 a month, whatever it is for Peacock.
Oh, yeah, because even if you're just – I mean, Peacock now it keeps growing. They have a bunch of pretty good TV shows. They could still work on some things, of course, but it's just up there. And if you see wrestling, it's at the top of their headline. It's something you could check out free of charge.
Yeah, I know. My wife has every single thing that you can stream. She has she has some deal that she's gotten to. I mean, she doesn't worry about any of the important stuff, but she has all the stuff that's like the peacocks and the apples and all that. Like, it's all in a bundle somewhere. And anytime I have a question, how do I watch this? She's like, gotta send me some password the size of, you know, leg. And I'm like, oh, jeez, here we go. The game's counting down. It's about to start. And I'm going, lowercase, star, underscore. No! I gotta start all over again.
Parentheses, son of a.
Stupid. Well, I forgot to tell you. I forgot to tell you the N and the X are capital. Son of a.
That would get them every time.
I'm curious. I have not seen. I think Tones asked me yesterday if Peacock was carrying MLB. I'm assuming they are, because I can't imagine that was a 1 year contract. That doesn't seem like something that I'll figure out in a second. But I don't like those, and the only reason why I don't like them is because they come on so darn early on a Sunday. Now I think they started later in the year last year, so I don't think it would happen on opening weekend. Anyways, I don't see any early games on opening weekend. But man, did I hate that? I mean that is just 11:30, I think, or maybe it might even be 10:30 Eastern.
No, you're right. It's 10:30. I see the first games. April 23rd, they have Rockies Phillies, 10:30 a.m. Cubs Marlins, April 30th, 10:30 a.m. Wow. May 7th, 10 a.m. It must be this is Central Time. So Eastern time, it's 11 o'clock.
You got to remember that you're on backwards time. I'm on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm on backwards. But Peacock wise,
I'm Eastern on forward time.
Yeah. But still, that's pretty early for all these games.
That's really early if you're in backwards time.
Fantasy leagues, I'm gonna have to set my alarm even earlier.
10:30, you're saying on the 23rd?
Yeah, Rockies Phillies, it would be 11:30 your time. Cubs Marlins, April 30th, 11:30. Orioles Braves on May 7th is at 11 o'clock a.m. in Atlanta.
That's not Mother's Day, is it? That's brutal.
Oh my goodness.
Now wait.
Oh no, Mother's Day's 1 week later. You got lucky.
I'm showing 12 Eastern for Rockies Phillies. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the Peacock?
I'm on the actual Peacock. I'm on my Peacock.
Okay, so I think what they've done, I think that's their pregame show. So fast forward the start time about a half hour.
Okay, makes more sense.
But
still early.
That's the time it used to start. Because I remember last year a couple of times, 11:30 Eastern, having to get up and figure out how in the heck I open up Peacock to be able to see the Braves games. And I remember 11:30 going, this is ridiculous. This is because so Sunday's the only day that me and my wife consistently have off together. So we plan it together. And in the summer, it's pool day. Or something around the water and something around the Braves game. I got to have it on somewhere. And that's super early to get up and get into the pool, you know, 11:30 in the morning, because the sun hasn't quite creeped over the tree line. So you're talking about getting in there, you know, getting your giblets frozen off. I do not like those Peacock games. I do like the fact that they push it back half hour. So noon, I'll live with it. I still don't understand what the hurry is. I really don't. I mean, what about all the people that are coming out of church? Noon? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I can think of is there's really nothing. I mean, yeah, there's some NBA and hockey, right? But there's really not a lot on, so maybe they figure they'll get the viewership. I don't know. It's a hard sell. It's a
really hard sell, because most of your Sunday starts. So I'm going to that particular day that you mentioned. The first game that starts, and I'm pretty sure this is pretty routine, is 1:30 Eastern, and it's actually the Braves. But there's a handful of games that started like 1:30, 1:35, 1:40 type of thing. What is the hurry to start the game at noon Eastern on a Sunday? Folks, even if they aren't churchgoers, they're probably going out to breakfast, whatever you're doing. You're not ready to lock down for a 3 hour ball game at noon.
Poor Guardians fan on Mother's Day. They have the 11 o'clock game on Mother's Day against the Angels. That's a terrible
thing. A Mother's Day game. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Angels Guardians.
You're saying poor Guardians, poor Angels fans.
Well, yeah, you're right. Think about that. I was thinking more about getting up, getting ready for the game, but the 14th?
Or
yeah, the 14th. Yep.
May 14th, and you're an Angels fan, it's probably like Shohei Ohtani Day. You're an Angels fan. Oh, and that first pitch is actually 11:35 Eastern. So they're not starting at that half hour. It's going to be 8:30 in the morning if you're an Angels fan on Mother's Day.
Have your breakfast, no, Mom. Mama.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Now shut up and turn the game on. What the? What are they thinking?
You're going to church.
Gee, well, I mean, what are they thinking? They shouldn't even do one on Mother's Day. They shouldn't do one on Mother's Day. Shouldn't do one on Easter. Don't do the Sunday games when you know other things are. Don't even try it on whenever the Masters Sunday is, which I don't think they do because I think that's the 9th. And you said that it starts on the 23rd. So at least they got that right. You can do it on Father's Day because at that point, Dad wants to watch a baseball game. That's fine.
Hey, it's the Cubs on Father's Day. Cool.
Are they at home?
Yep. Father's Day.
Who are they playing?
Orioles at noon.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's fine. Cool.
That's a really
maybe good one. Maybe I'll get Dad that now. We'll see.
Yeah. Get your dad out there to the park. Father's Day?
What day? I have a couple Teddy Bruschis on June 18th.
It's June 18th. Okay. That's usually, I'm assuming it, I can't imagine it would change, but that's usually the U.S. Open as well. So that game's at 1:05 Eastern. So you get done around 3. That's perfect time. You get home just in time to catch the back nine.
Absolutely.
All right. Do you want to talk about stuff that's actually going on in the world of sports right now?
Do we want to say how right we were on Luka Doncic or what do we
want? Oh, my God. Play that clip. I'm glad you brought that up. I told you you're going to have to remind me. I downloaded
it,
but I forget it. So for folks who didn't catch this, this is Luka being interviewed. I think it was late Monday night. And this, or it might have been late Sunday night, but this is before yesterday's game. But Luka, basically the Kyrie Irving effect has taken control.
Luka, you guys obviously know how much is at stake in every game. How do you explain coming out this flat tonight?
I don't know.
What did you think about the fact that he's booing?
I don't know.
Did you think it was deserved?
You guys put him in a spot here, but probably, yeah. This season hasn't been what we think it was going to be. But, you know, we still got time to make up.
What does it take to fix the season, to make things right?
To win games. Simple.
As frustrated as you've been?
I mean, yeah. It's really frustrating. You know, I think you can see it with me on the court. Sometimes I don't feel it's me. I'm just being out there. I used to have really fun smiling on court, but it's just been so frustrating for a lot of reasons, not just basketball.
What else is going on?
I didn't know how to talk about my prayer life.
Okay.
Just a lot going on.
You know, the first thing that came to my mind is that probably after the first practice with Kyrie Irving, I guarantee you this was going through Luka's head.
Hello there, Frazier.
Oh, what fresh hell is this?
And the first thing that came to my mind is, what have I done? But you, what gets me is you know they had to have gone to him. I would be shocked if Mark Cuban made that trade without going to Luka and saying, hey, we have a chance to bring in Kyrie Irving. What do you think? And did Luka not consult with anybody and find out, oh, by the way, the guy is very talented, but he's a freaking jackleg, and you're not going to want to be around him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, since they've acquired Kyrie, they went from the 7th seed to the 11th seed, which is out of the play-in. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They lost back-to-back games to the Charlotte Hornets, who Michael Jordan wants to get rid of. This team is in absolute disarray, folks. And
I got one better for you.
Go ahead. Hit me.
Last night it improved, but before last night, so now it's 8-13. They were 7-13, 7 wins, 13 losses going into last night's game since the trade. So now they're 8-13 because they won. Wow. And this is a team that had a winning record. I think there were 2 or 3 games above 500 at the time.
Correct. Correct. Because they're 37-39 now.
And like you mentioned, they're not playing a gauntlet, right? They're playing
not at all.
They're playing the New Jersey Generals.
Michael Jordan might as well suit up for Charlotte at this point.
Or those are the Kentucky Generals. Whatever the guys were that always lost to the Harlem Globetrotters, those guys. I mean, they are just – they might as well be playing the Savannah Bananas because they have no shot. They're an absolute dumpster fire. And, like, so, like, tomorrow night I was referring to how bad the slate is for sports in general because you don't even have the NIT tomorrow night. You have – MLB, you have NHL. There's only 3 NHL games, and the NBA games are terrible. MLB doesn't start till the following day. I'm not sure what I originally said, but that's what I meant. So no MLB, no college basketball. And the NBA slate is atrocious. In the big game that they would have liked to have promoted and got you to – you know, tune in would have been Mavericks versus the 76ers, but Embiid didn't play last night. Is he going to play tomorrow night? I doubt it.
I tell you what, fantasy basketball has been a complete mess because all these players out.
God, are you playing that?
Yeah, and this is what happened. We learned today. You already mentioned.
I'd like everyone to stop and say a prayer for Joey. He's been playing fantasy basketball all year.
It's been a rough run, but I mean, it's crazy. Damian Lillard just got announced done for the season. We get Kevin Durant finally back Wednesday. That was made official.
When are your playoffs?
Right now we're in our semifinal. So okay.
All right,
we're pushed up against it.
It's been a couple of years since I tried to talk myself into playing fantasy basketball. It's just terrible.
It gets worse by the year because you can't even figure out who's playing for a team in the morning or afternoon.
I used to play it until like right before the pandemic. And then I finally just gave up. I was like, man, I don't need this nonsense in my life. If you think that's bad, fantasy hockey's pretty brutal too. Mainly because it's just not exciting because you're like, ugh. What did I do? I just drafted a team, and now I'm just reading statistics. I'm just trying to slot guys in, but I don't know what's going on. But that's essentially – so all my energy I used to put into fantasy basketball, NBA, you know, years ago, that energy has gone into betting college basketball. That's where the energy –
That's a good one.
I mean, that's how it happened. I did it little by little, and then this year I really throttled it up. And came away pretty well this year, but I can't do it, man. It's exactly what you said. You don't know who's starting, and it's all the time. It's not like every once in a while you go, oh man. I mean, I would imagine unless I was going to do best ball. And I did a couple of best balls, but I can't even tell you what. I'll pull them up in a second and look and see. I haven't looked at them in weeks because I just honestly kind of forgot I played. But unless I'm going to do best ball, I'm not doing fantasy basketball. But even best ball, yeah, you don't have to start a lineup. But let's be honest, you're going to get ticked off. They shut Ben Simmons down again, man.
Him and Lillard.
Shut a guy down who never plays. That's not shutting down. That's just doing the same thing. What are they talking about?
That's what stinks about the NBA. If you have a good team, they're going to rest their players. If you have a bad team, they're shutting them down for the year. It's a lose-lose.
I mean, it's just – I don't even know where to go on this website to find my result for the dudes that I drafted because I never go over here to the NBA part of it. I'll find it at the break, I guess. But I have no earthly idea how my team is doing. I don't even know if the season's – I would think the season's still going on. Maybe that's the money they got put in my account the other day. Where it came from.
Where did this free cheese come? Oh, thank you, NBA.
Yeah. These are all baseball, so I don't really have any clue what's going on. But anyways, tonight we got the fantasy baseball draft that we're going to be doing here on YouTube. And if there's time before and after, I'm probably going to do some best balls on there. Just to kind of warm up the crowd kind of thing. How did you feel about your best ball that we did?
Oh, I feel pretty good about it. And actually, since, Atlanta fans would be happy to know, I had a draft last night for one of my big leagues. I got Spencer Strider, which I liked a lot. And then Kyle Wright wasn't being drafted because of the little injury concern. I picked him up way in the late round. So a couple of Braves added to my pitching staff that I'm pretty pumped about Wright because his value to me, I mean, I think he's only going to be out a couple of starts. You probably know more than I do, but I'm fine with that.
Well, if it gives you an indication, I kept him in my keeper league.
I love it.
They're hoping that he misses two rotations through, because he was around four innings that he went out the other day. And I think I saw 65 pitches. I don't know. A lot of this stuff gets scrambled in my head because I see 17 reports on 15 guys, but I think he's probably about 1 to 2 starts away from ramping up and getting ready for an actual game.
Awesome.
So that's do you have any other big drafts left?
Baseball? No, my last one just completed, so I am done. Unless, we do some best ball or something, but I'm done with my drafts right now.
When you get off tonight from doing your Cleve and Me show, let me know.
Okay.
Because I'll probably be setting – I'm thinking I'll set it up post – draft, so we're talking around 9 o'clock your time. So
okay,
it'll probably be a cheap one, probably like a $5 or $10 one. But
I'll shoot you a text.
Yeah. Okay. The Indians, Guardians. Gosh darn it!
Hey, one of many this year.
That's never going to change. Cleveland. they and the Diamondbacks are. They're still called the Diamondbacks, right? They're tied up 1-1. So a guy who just got a walk that I'm interested in long term, I don't know if I would draft him as high as he's going, but I am curious about him. Corbin Carroll is going high in these drafts, and they are singing all his praises. But you know what it reminds me of? Was it last year or the year before? Jake McCarthy that they were singing all these praises for, and he really didn't do anything. He was okay. But he's a guy that on a team that would even be considered a contender, he'd be like an 8 or 9 hitter. He's got speed. Just because you're hitting in the middle of the Diamondbacks lineup doesn't mean I want you hitting in the middle of my lineup.
He was drafted round 7 in my draft last night.
Carroll.
Carroll.
Yeah. I know they're high on him. But I don't know.
It's a risk.
It's a huge risk. Now, in a keeper league, if you draft him later in the draft, okay, fair enough. Guys like Volpe or Go. I actually like Volpe a lot. I'm just, man, I got too many shortstops, guys that can play shortstop on that roster. Because I got one guy who's going to just be eating cheeseburgers sitting on the bench for 20 days. Fernando Tatis, because I can't drop him. He's only been gone 20 days, but you can't put him on the IL slot or nothing. So I'm really
stuck between a rock and a hard place there.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into – I'll tell you what, let's take a real quick break. When we come back, we'll go ahead and fire up some your 2023
–
Do me a favor. Do you have your lock already?
I do.
What you got?
Well, there's not much to bet on, so I went to NBA, which is going to make you screech with, I know. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are +2 tonight. They're at the Atlanta Hawks. Cavs are pretty healthy. They're playing better basketball. I'm taking the Cleveland Cavaliers +2 at Atlanta tonight.
I do like UAB a lot tonight. Man, that line's already gone up again. It's already to 5 points. What I'm going to do personally, I'll probably take UAB on the money line and then tease North Texas, but I don't have that in front of me to be able to figure out the numbers that we always go with. So I'm going to take North Texas on the money line tonight for my lock, -125. They tip off at 7 o'clock against Wisconsin. If you haven't watched UAB play, they have got a very athletic team and a couple of the better scorers in the country. They should waltz past Utah Valley. And Utah Valley's played well this year. Don't get me wrong. They've been one of my favorite teams to bet. But I think UAB's on a mission. All right, let's go ahead and take that quick break. When we come back, Joey's going to give us his 2023 Major League Baseball predictions. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
How do three men in their 30s not have $800 between them?
The economy is in shambles. Oh, like, taking
the NASDAQ
marketplace right now.
Now, Jones.
Stop talking, fine. That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe. The family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in Hyundai Santa Fe.
Touch them all, Joe! You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life!
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Lager, the beer that brought the forest down.
I drive an exotic imported sports car. I eat exotic foreign food like frankfurters and pizza. But when it comes to numbing my mind, I'm a patriot. I drink the beer that brought the forest down. I'm a lager man. And with the new 80 bottle Trump pack, you've got enough for the evening. Hey, it's happy hour somewhere.
Lager brings out the patriot in you.
Catch Braves Country weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on 99.1 FM The Key with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Your first choice for Southern sports talk. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE.
Two sleeps. Go to sleep tonight. Go to sleep one more time. As long as you're not sitting, butt sitting, naps all day long. Two more sleeps and two full sleeps. If you take a couple of naps here and there, that doesn't count. And then we'll have opening day. Final four, or as I like to call it, the UConn Invitational. They're going to bring those South Florida boys to the slaughter. You give Miami a chance of winning that?
With the way Connecticut's played, I don't think they're going to lose again the rest of the season, to be honest.
The only team that I think that has a real chance of upsetting them just because of the way they play is San Diego State.
Yeah, so we'll get a 50.
The disaster for CBS would be Miami and FAU in the title game.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the lack of interest in that? It wouldn't be great if it's Miami versus San Diego State. But at least you get California and Florida, right? At least you. But if you get Florida Atlantic and Miami, who are separated by less than an hour. Oof. That's a bad one. UConn. I keep debating on would it be better to have UConn going up against a big Cinderella like FAU to win it all, right? Would that bring it, or is it better to have Connecticut, that whole Northeast crowd, watching versus California, which in their own right's a Cinderella?
Yeah, if I had to lean one way, I'd go FAU, Connecticut, just because I feel like that's a story where everyone's starting to be like, wow, look at this team that's been a little consistent in past tournaments, and they're still a 9 seed, and they want to really see them win at this point. And Connecticut seems like David versus Goliath. So I kind of think that'd be the matchup to me that might spark the ratings.
Brian's ever talking about the hate. No, dude, it's the facts, man. I'm telling you right now, if folks have not watched UConn, they're going to bring the heat.
And listen, I love what Miami did on Sunday. They were down 15. It looked they were shot in a barrel against Texas. And what do you know? They have the boys come back, and they hit a lot of shots down the stretch. But UConn, I mean, Gonzaga did look like a little junior league team out there on Saturday. This is not easy.
When you look at it, Texas was dominating that game, and they blew it, right? What were they up, like 14 in the second half? They blew it.
Yep, with 9 minutes.
I don't think that's going to be even a remote possibility if you get down by a little to UConn. And you look at on paper, oh, number four versus number five. Da, da. I'm telling you, that -5.5 is not enough. It's not enough. UConn is just, they have just trampled everybody. And they've just gotten to play. It's like a buzzsaw, essentially, right? They beat Gonzaga by 28, and that's when they took the foot off the gas pedal. Arkansas 23, same story. St. Mary's, they beat by 15. That was the closest game, and they pounded Iona. When the tournament first started, I heard a couple of experts talking about UConn and how they could bring it on. And the thing is, I'd watched a few UConn games, but I had not seen them recently. And I was like, oh, what, UConn, go the whole distance? Now, it's not laughable at all. They're a locomotive just heading down the track.
It's funny you say that. I remember Reese Davis actually saying that was his team that he thought was going to go all the way because they're healthy at the right time, blah, blah, blah. I said, no chance they get that far. Well, here we are.
I think a lot of us were shocked that Alabama is gone. But that San Diego State team, that team brought in a lot of NIL, brought in a lot of, half their team has got AARP cards. They're just out there gritty, defensive. They're my favorite team to watch. I just don't think they're going to be able to be. I don't see them beating UConn. I guess I should be pulling for Florida Atlantic. I don't know. I don't really care that much to be pulling for them. If they get there, I'll pull for them. But right. I'm more into the San Diego State story. I would love to see San Diego State take down UConn. But, man, you got to give UConn credit. And just in general, they are phenomenal. And what Hurley's done, that dude's going to get paid. That dude's getting paid. He's going to get his own NIL deal. All right, let's get into your 2020.
Yes!
Let's go. Put your name on it.
Oh, I love this.
All right. We'll start off with the American League. Let me get your division winners in the American League.
Okie dokie. In any order?
I mean, you can do whatever you want. Most people go east to west or west to east, but, you know.
All right, let's do it. I'll start in the east. I have the New York Yankees winning the division there. I just think at the end of the day, too much talent, even though I do like that division to have quite a few good teams. In the AL Central, I got the Guardians coming in first place. I actually wrote the Indians down, but I mean the Guardians. And then in the AL West, I got the Houston Astros. I tried to pick another team, but when I put it on paper, I couldn't do it. So kind of went chalk there. But the Yankees, the Guardians, and the Astros.
It's so hard to write anyone else but Houston
right
in that slot, isn't it? Because you go through it and you go through, you're like, oh, well, this could happen. This could happen. Seattle could. But it just, they could get three major injuries. I already had one. They get three major injuries, and they're still probably the best team in baseball at this point.
They're so deep.
So who are your American League wild cards?
My three wild cards? Okay, I actually got one from each division. From the East, I got the Blue Jays. I got the White Sox and the Central.
Shocking.
Yeah. And then the Rangers in the West.
Wow, so you don't have
I have Seattle out.
You have Seattle out. You've got
the Rays out.
I know you're not big on Minnesota, but you got the Rays out, and you've got who am I forgetting? Oh, never mind, the Blue Jays you got in.
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you got the you got that set up that way. Who's in the ALCS and who heads to the World Series?
I got an all AL East matchup. I got the Blue Jays and the Yankees, and I have the Yankees taking it home in the American League.
Yankees and Blue Jays. That would be. I know a lot of people are high on the Blue Jays. My only question about the Blue Jays is, do they have that pitching?
I don't know either. I mean, they need one more at the deadline.
Because they imploded. And that pitching staff just fell apart at the end.
Badly.
I like Romano. Is Manoah going to get back to Manoah-type level when he first came on? Because I'll tell you what, he's been kind of a disappointment. And they've got a couple other guys there that I guess the nicest way to say it, they need to live up to their contract. They have not been living up to their contract.
That's true. Live up to the name on the jersey too.
Tough, tough division. So what are you essentially seeing? Toronto going and beating the Astros somehow, and then that's how they get to the LCS?
Yep, that would be the way, because I would have the Guardians playing the Yankees and then the Blue Jays and the Astros.
All right, so National League, who do you got in the East?
Oh, baby. I mean, I didn't do this for homework. I tried to do my homework diligently, and I still came up with the Atlanta Braves. National. This team. Yeah, this team has too much talent, too much that young team, talent.
Baby.
Yeah, and you know what? Knock on wood, outside of Kyle Wright, this is a team that's young and should stay healthy. I got the Braves taking the division.
This team should compete for playoffs, divisions, and World Series the whole decade. That's the way it should go down. Now, it never goes down the way you think it's going to, but
right.
This team is so loaded and so young that outside of like something internal, like basically, and it seems like that they got a bunch of good guys too. Like it doesn't seem like outside of Ozuna, who's been in trouble. But the thing about Ozuna is it appears that he's well-liked in the clubhouse. So it doesn't even seem like the chemistry thing is going to be an issue. The only thing that I worry about the Braves going in, that I'm feeling a lot better now, is the play they're going to get from left field and shortstop. But, man, Arcia is playing well. I think he's going to hold the fort down until they can develop whether it's Grissom or Shoemake that makes the jump. And don't be surprised if Shoemake makes the jump first, but Grissom's the long-term answer. And then left field, dude, Eddie Rosario is starting to bang. He is starting to bang.
And if that happens,
If he can turn it on and start hitting, there's not going to be a hole in that lineup. All right, who wins the Central?
I hate to do it, but I think they're going to be real good this year. The St. Louis Cardinals win the Central.
Well, I know that's hard for you to say.
Yeah, it's having Willie Contreras win that division, that's going to rip my tongue and heart out, but I just think it's going to happen.
Well, I think they've got the best staff, pitching staff in the division. Maybe the Brewers could go toe-to-toe, but I've got a lot of question marks with the Brewers outside their big three. And that, man, that offense, top to bottom, should be the best in the division.
Consistent offense.
How far – okay, so I think we can agree that the Reds stink and that they're going to be at the bottom.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, easy.
And are you thinking Cubs somewhere around second or third, right? And then the Brewers right there, right?
Yep, exactly.
How far away do you think the Pirates are? Are they just barely above the Reds, or are they barely below like the Cubs and Brewers?
Well, when I look at it, you know, I think they're more closer to the Reds, unfortunately. I don't really like their starting pitching all that much. They're still relying on a guy like Rich Hill to give them innings. And in the lineup, they've added a couple of bats, but, I mean, McCutcheon's over the hill. Santana's over the hill. I think they're still closer to the Reds than the Cubs and Brewers.
Sunday, Pirates, Braves. Rich Hill already got pulled because I don't know.
There's my point.
So, I don't think it was anything major. It might have been just been like he had the sniffles or something. But I was like, oh my word, this guy.
He's 43 years old.
What is he doing? What is he doing, man? And he's not any good. Like, he's not 43 years. He's not Tom Brady, right? Like, hey man, this guy could just sling it. No.
No,
you can't.
He's like Doug Flutie when he was 40.
He's like Doug Flutie when he's 60 is what he's.
Yeah, saying. Man. I'm sorry, Doug Flutie. Yeah. That was a disc.
Yeah. Not to bash Doug Flutie, but I don't think he could currently play professional sports. I'm sure he thinks he could. All right. So one of the things I would like to know is that if you're looking at the win total, we'll get into that one second. Let me get your picks. Who wins the West?
I am done. Just like the Mets I'm done with the Dodgers. The Padres are going to take that division home. The Dodgers are done.
Man, everybody's taking the Padres. It's crazy. I don't think anyone has taken the Dodgers.
Oh, really? Well, there goes that fun for me.
That's crazy. Like, I once again, the thing about the Dodgers is I don't think they're a threat to win the National League at all, but they tend to go to the post and show up during the regular season better than anybody else in that division.
They definitely do, but don't you think that wear and tear, this isn't a very young team anymore. I just feel like maybe between injuries and age that maybe this might be the year it gets to him.
I hope so. Cause I'm with you on the, just, you know, kind of burned out on the Dodgers, but it's just one of those things that I got to see it to believe it because
yeah, fair.
Dodgers. Okay. So who are the wild cards?
All right. The wild cards going down the list. I actually got one in each division. Again, I got the Dodgers. I do have them making a wild card spot. I got the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, so you don't have the Dodgers falling off the track. You don't.
Not enough to – I wanted to put the Giants, but the Giants, I didn't. So I got the Dodgers, the Phillies, and then my hometown Cubbies edge out the Brewers. What a shocker, right?
I know.
You knew I was going to do that. The Cubs sneak in there with 83-84 wins, last wild card team.
All right. Who's in the NLCS?
The Braves and the Padres, and I'm still torn to this very minute who I have winning that game. But if I have to lay it out there, just because I think we're going to have a good amount of Braves in the World Series on the show, I think the Padres make a pitching move at the deadline. I think that lineup stays healthy. And I think the Padres finally get over the hump and play the Yankees in the World Series.
So it's going to be a rematch. I hope it's not a rematch of the 98 series. the Yankees swept the Padres.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I thought about that yesterday when I started making my actual picks. I'm doing all mine tomorrow, but the Padres are very heavily favored. The Yankees have a good chance. And that was the year. And then that song came out, the 98 Braves. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but what are you talking about? What's that?
I heard you talking about it on the show the other day. Maybe it was even yesterday. I forget.
So that year, the Braves lost to the Padres, and then the Padres ended up losing to the Yankees in the World Series, got swept. I was like, man, I hope it's not. I hope that guy didn't cut that record, and then all of a sudden we're going to relive that. Which, it's funny, the person, whoever wrote the song, I'm sure he didn't write it. Whoever wrote the song, it's not accurate. Like, we were not. No one thought that we could beat the Padres. Look, the Padres, that's when they had Kevin Brown. If for folks who didn't watch Kevin Brown pitch in his heyday at that time, he was unbelievably hard to get a base hit off of. This guy had a heavy sinker. And in that time period, when you're talking about guys being able to slam it out of the building, right? The steroid, it was right at the beginning of the steroid era, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. Because he had a nasty sinker. I'm telling you, Joey, it would just zip, zip. It lasted like 3 years where he was like, you're like, you can't hit this jerk.
You can't see what you can't hit.
And it's surprising that they got swept in the World Series, because you would have thought they would have won the Kevin Brown game. But he was, God, I remember going to that series going, all right, well, this has been fun, but how are we going to beat this guy? Like, we had a talented team. I still say 96 is the year that it burns me up the most, but 97 is a close second, because God dog it. That strike zone by Eric Gregg was just absolutely disgusting. 91 didn't make me too happy either. You get to game 7. That would have been a good one, but you know, the guy was probably still in diapers.
The nice thing about the Braves, I just feel like every decade, they at least make a World Series, maybe not always win it, but I feel like the Braves are just always.
Great thing about the Braves is they really know how to break your heart.
No, come on, that's until a couple.
You're a Braves fan. It's very rare that you can turn the page right around August when football season. You still think so? You're telling me there's a chance? Let's go. The mid part of last decade, that was rough. It was about a rough 10 years, even though we had a couple of decent seasons from about 2006 to around 2006. We'll just say 06 to 016, somewhere in that area. I mean, 06 to 2016. That was a rougher decade, because not only did we have some bad years, and we had a couple of good ones, but that's the decade, or the span of 10 years, where we got the infield fly rule horse hockey that shouldn't have never happened. We had a couple of other things that I could go drone on, but we're running out of time. But then the Phillies won the World Series in the middle of that time period, too. And it's bad enough to stink, but when you have to watch the Phillies, and the Phillies were darn good. I mean, Utley, Rollins, Ryan Howard. We got Ryan Howard when he was more focused on making Subway commercials.
Yeah, they even had a fun pitching staff. I mean, that team was loaded.
So who wins the World Series, my guy?
Yeah, I'm going with Yankees over the Padres. It's finally the Yankees' time. They break through.
The Yankees time. They got 27 championships.
Yeah, but how many, you know, this with this team.
Poor Yankees. Those poor souls.
Believe me, I don't feel bad for them.
By a win.
You have to think that between Stanton, Judge, a couple other guys, they're not getting any younger. And to me, this is the peak. This is the time. Garrett Cole, you have to do it now. If this Yankees team is going to get over the hump, to me, it has to be this season.
They're involved in something that I got planned for tomorrow, but yeah. the poor Yankees.
Hey, come on. I didn't say the poor. I'm just saying this team hasn't had that miraculous World Series.
They've got 27 of them.
Sorry for giving them. If I give them a 28, they probably won't get it. So
somewhere down the road, someone's riding going, yeah, and the poor Montreal Canadiens too. I hope they can get a W every once in a while. Gosh darn it. I hope Alabama football finally gets back to their winning ways.
Come on, man.
We're coming up on time. What is your walk-off?
My walk-off is this. I'm trying to look at the MLB schedule, look at the weekend. What's up with – we got no day games on Friday. They put no national televised games besides one ESPN+. I love that the MLB is back on Thursday, but to me they botched once again the Friday schedule again, and it doesn't make me very happy.
Yeah, I don't like it. I was talking about this yesterday, and I would either A, like for them to go back to way it used to be where opening day was on a Monday and it was also on the national championship day, right? So you'd watch a whole bunch of baseball, right? And then you'd finish it on Monday night with the national championship of college basketball, which was fun. But if you're not going to do that, it really feels like they should start this thing on Wednesday. Take Thursday off and let's get back going on Friday.
Yes.
Because, hey, by the way, tomorrow there's nothing on. There's nothing going on.
Zilch.
Yeah. Nada. My walk-off is looks like the Washington Commander Redskins DC football team, whatever they're called. It looks like they're going to get bought out by Magic Johnson and company. So, bye-bye, Daniel Snyder. I'm sure a lot of Washington fans are happy about that.
Adios, Danny boy.
All right, we'll keep it locked in here on the key. If you do want to catch the fantasy baseball show tonight, we're going to be on Braves Country HD about 8:30, and we'll be going on for a couple hours. And also remember, on opening day, we'll be right here. And Friday, happy hour. 4 to 5. Holy Tones. WWE, by God. Let's get it going.
Wrestling.
I can't wait for this. I'm definitely cracking a cold one in that. If I got to listen to an hour of wrestling talk, I'm
Stone Cold would approve.
All right, brother. I'll see you Thursday.
Adios.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.